Hello and welcome to the Linux Lads, season 6, episode 7. So I remember to say it this time. Yeah, gold star for me. My name is Shane, of course, and with me are Mike and Connor. Say hello.
Hello.
Hello. All right, Governor.
Hello, hello.
I'm very sorry to all the English people listening. I'm not really. anyway, so some casual xenophobia to get us off to the races. Today we're going to do a slightly different episode. We're going to go back to one of those kind of old topic discussion-y episodes we used to do, but kind of stopped doing and just started covering everything on OMG Ubuntu. We're going to just go back to that. And we're just going to talk about... I actually forget the whole sentence. Mike, what was it?
Does Linux do all you need it to do?
That's it. Yeah. Okay.
Asterisk on the desktop.
Exactly. Desktop, because we're firmly kind of in the desktop territory on this podcast. So I guess that's where we'll stay.
So I'll start off with saying that I have been using Linux off and on since 2006. So I think that was around when Windows 7 was coming out. And I kept dipping my toes in, saying, is it right? Could I live inside this? In Linux now, I've been full-time on all my personal devices. Work is separate for about 3 years, I think, now. But because I was experimenting, I was checking out the programs that were installed in Ubuntu when I was going back into Windows, but it was in the back of my mind. I was thinking, I came across this thing called VLC, which I hadn't have heard of. Wonder, is that available for Windows? Oh, yes, it is. Inkscape, wonder, is that available for Windows? I can download it here. And then once I got into that flow, well, why am I still on Windows? Of course, people still say games is the reason why they still keep a Windows partition or the dual boot or whatever. And with Proton and everything like that, and Steam is a huge thing.
Yeah, so that's true. A lot of good points there, especially with the apps. So if I want to go back to the topic of does Linux do everything I need it to do, or does it lack anything, basically? Right now, no. And it's been that way for about 2 years. I remember when I first started using Linux, I think it was like 2009, 2010 maybe. It did not do everything I needed. It did not at all. As you said, Connor, Wi-Fi barely even worked. You know, you could do a lot of cool stuff with it, but you couldn't really do everything. You had to go back to Windows, like I definitely did, for sure. And then it wasn't until like 2016, 2017 that I fully switched over to Linux. No, it might have been earlier, around 2015, when we started doing the Dublin Linux user group thingy. So I was probably full-time on Linux then, with an occasional game in Windows and that kind of thing. But then I remember about 2-3 years ago, I finally just bit the bullet and deleted the Windows partition because I needed the space, because I was like, I haven't booted into this Windows partition for about 18 months, so why do I have it? And I just got rid of it, kept the license just in case I ever needed it again, because I could just download the ISO again and from Microsoft. So I was like, I'm not really losing anything, because I paid for the Windows license because when I built my PC at the time. Like, apps are the main thing, and just the usability of it is better than Windows, in my opinion, and a lot of people agree with me. Some of the distros I like are the ones that are very Mac-like and very floaty and got animations and all the cool stuff and all the visual candy. But, you know, it's just more usable. It doesn't interrupt you. It's not commercialized and commoditized. It does, like, Windows is crazy. Like, those tiles on that start menu, what the hell is that all about with the ads and shit right in your operating system? No, thank you.
I don't know, you know. The problem is, you go to, like... And I think I tend to undervalue this. To me, if you take a Mac and if you learn something on a Windows machine and then you cannot transfer the skill to a Mac or a Linux, then you are not a technical person, and maybe like you should work with something else than computers. Like, problem with society is that sometimes you can't. Like, if you are an accountant, you have to use a computer, even though like a specific machine that just runs spreadsheets would probably work, right? But that's one thing. But like the thing with Windows is, you go to PC World, you pick up not a Toshiba anymore, but an Acer for 500 euros. You bring it home, and yeah, it does have ads everywhere. It reports everything you do to Microsoft, and it has a little, Candy Crush tile in there that I don't know why. But you plug it in, and it kind of works. The kind of is something that I couldn't bear myself. I have to for me, it has to work. But most people like put up with it because I think you don't have to, like, you kind of know what you're meant to do, and if it breaks, there's a number that you call or something, and eventually it breaks so badly that you just press a button and it will reinstall itself, right? Whereas with Linux, we don't often have this. You cannot go to whatever your local PC World or Best Buy or whatever is, and by and large, you can't do that. So that is one problem. And if we solve that, like if you could buy an Entroware or a Slimbook machine in a shop, like maybe people would just bring it, open it, run Ubuntu, find the spreadsheet, you work with the spreadsheet, and that would get them that far, right? For many people, that would be enough. Now, for me personally, I started seriously using Linux about 2008. I spent a lot of energy making it work. You know, like I basically wiped Windows and I said, I'm making this work and it doesn't matter what it takes because I had the time, right? So I spent a long time getting the Wi-Fi to work and I didn't know what I was doing. Eventually it started working. And for periods when it wasn't working, I ran a very long cable to the router, right? That kind of thing. And I was stubborn enough to make it work. Obviously, that's not that's not something you can expect people to do. These days, everything works, kinda. I still think that we need LibreOffice to become much better. I get PowerPoint presentations that don't translate because they are made in PowerPoint and the text is off. I don't know. I know that it's not an easy effort and I know it's fault of Microsoft for not sticking to their own standards. It's not fault of LibreOffice. But sometimes you just need the compatibility and the functionality and the performance of LibreOffice, specifically for me. You know, that's, maybe Shane would say we need the Adobe Creative Suite or Cloud or whatever they call it.
Or at least a viable alternative.
Yeah, so for everybody who does a bit more, so if you want to browse the internet, you can just use anything, really. It doesn't matter what it is, depending on your personal preferences. If it's, you can do all that on a tablet. But if you want to do something extra, then I think I'm very lucky because my interests and my work, all I need to do my job is obviously web browser. I need to be able to manipulate massive quantities of text and CSV, which is basically text separated into tables. And I need to be able to use some Python. Basically I need to be able to analyze data. By and large, that's all I need. And luckily, Linux is like more suited for it than Windows. By the time then a Windows user installs Python, I already am, up running and doing my job. And that's a massive advantage of an operating system that was built from the ground by people who were interested in development without much of anybody else having a say in the early stages. That if you want to do something that's actually kind of within the actual computer, like programming, then the tools are there and it's actually extremely competitive. If you want to do media creation or something like this, then I don't know. That's probably, we do that. But we are not professionals. There are professional Linux podcasts that do that. I think JB works, that they are making that all work on Linux, right? And there are others. I'm sure some people use DaVinci Resolve or Reaper that Nicole mentioned. And to be honest, that's part of making it work. Like, so does it work for you? That question means, and now it's me who's talking for minutes on end, right? But lastly, like the work for me, that means if I can get I do obviously appreciate more if something is open source, but if there is the one app that I really need to or want to run that is not open source, I still appreciate being able to run it on Linux.
The one shout out, I do not know if we've mentioned this on the podcast before, but it's so damn fucking good that it deserves another mention, is alternative2.net. So that's T-O, not the number two, alternative2.net.
Both of you have mentioned, all three of us use open source tools to make this podcast, and it's crazy how Linuxy and open sourcey my workflow is without really me intending it to be. You know, it came about because I was using the best tools for the job at my skill level, and that suited me. So obviously, like, we're using Jitsi to speak to each other and to see each other and to synchronize and whatnot. We're using Audacity to record. I will obviously do the initial kind of treatment of all the tracks and syncing them up and everything in Audacity and normalize them and whatnot, and do noise reduction. But then I go into Ardor because it's just easier to edit in, you know, for the content, to chop things up and move things around. It's just far, far simpler in Ardor. I don't get so much into the processing and the effects in Ardor because it's a bit more complicated, but I do a little bit here and there if it needs it. The compressor is actually really handy to use in Ardor, so that's really nice. But like, mostly I would do all the audio and the EQ and whatnot in Audacity. So that's a lovely little workflow I've got going on there. You know, it goes into Audacity for a little bit of initial love, and then Ardor gets chopped up and made into a more of a finished product. Then it's back into Audacity for the final, the final passes of limiter and compressor and anything I need to do, and then I export it from Audacity. So that's a sexy little workflow I've got going on that's been crafted over the last two and a bit years, and I know exactly what I'm doing at every step of the way. Doesn't change very much now because it's just so perfect, and that's all on open source software, and it's like end to end.
The fantastic thing about it, sorry to jump in, but you know, Audacity is, I remember Audacity being used on Linux workstations to edit what didn't used to be called podcast, because it was like live internet radio in 2000 and...
Did he tell you radio on the internet?
Yeah, I was in the uni, so that was 2004, 2003, right? And, or in 2000, you know, around that time anyway. And yeah, that was like, thinking about it now, that's actually fascinating, because almost the entire thing ran on Linux, with the exception of like one office PC, because that was hooked up to a printer. I don't think you could print from Linux back then. I don't know, but
still can't sometimes.
No, I was going to say, how long has Cups been around for? But
yeah, no, I think like you needed printer drivers for.
I actually had more luck setting up a printer with Cups before than I did with the desktop printer tool. I tried to do it with the bloody one in GNOME before. Most likely it was GNOME. And then, or XFCE. God, forget about it with XFCE. The best thing I ever used was, I literally did it super old school with like the Cups interface on like a bloody web page. And like it was classic. It was so easy. You know, it's a bit more manual. Obviously, you have to type in an IP address and you have to know the IP address of the printer and everything. But once you have the information, it's dead easy.
Yeah, you know, XFCE can't print still, and GNOME can't print yet. GNOME can no longer print. So somewhere in there, I think Ubuntu Mate would be printing all right.
It's weird. We have a weird situation in our house. Printing is actually one big thing that we've touched on now, that Linux doesn't do that well.
Windows doesn't do that well half the time.
Or Linux, or maybe even Windows. Did I say Windows, Freudian slip?
No,
I didn't. I don't think so.
No, but, I introduced Windows just, you see now.
We have this gas situation where I need to scan a form for like an insurance claim or some shit. And on my girlfriend's laptop, a ThinkPad that I got her, and I stuck Ubuntu on it. The document scanner in Ubuntu works just fine with that all-in-one printer. It gets the scan. So I always have to get her to get her ThinkPad with Ubuntu on it and scan the documents every time I need to do it. And my bloody PC, now running Xorin OS, can't do that. And when I was using Pop! OS, I couldn't do that. When I was using Ubuntu, I on this PC, for some reason, I couldn't do that. But on her laptop, I can.
I don't know. Printing. I don't own a printer, and I don't think I ever will again, because
it is useful.
That's the thing. Like, it's in the office. Whenever I need it to, like, boarding pass. Basically, the only thing I printed in the last 5 years, like a boarding pass, but I've been out of the office for over a year and I didn't need a printer. So that kind of... Oh, so I wasn't flying anywhere. That's true.
Boarding passes on your phone is just great.
I know. It is amazing. And I use it all the time. But you want to have a backup. Like, if you got dropped in like a foreign country where you don't even speak the language and all you have is boarding passes on your phone and somebody robs away your phone, then at least having the paper backup is like,
I 100% agree with you. I went on a trip with my cousins and a few friends a few years back. We were going to Amsterdam and,
no, that kind of a trip.
It was that kind of a trip, and exactly, it's exactly what you thought it would be. I had a situation though where there was a print error on the QR code and it wouldn't scan. And I didn't have it on my phone because I just had never bothered to do that. And I was like, oh, it's a paper backup. You know, paper is the ultimate open source, you know. You can't hack it. It's 100% secure. I always had paper boarding passes. I never wanted them on my phone. But then all the guys that were with me were like taking the piss out of me, going like, we didn't know where the fuck you were. You had to run down the other end of the terminal to the Ryanair desk. And oh, it was terrible. But they were like, aren't you like mad into computers and all this? And they're like, why would you have it on paper and not on your phone? And I learned my lesson then.
It's extremely convenient it is extremely convenient not to have to print. And there's the thing, like, Linux is also becoming better by attrition. Printing didn't get any better, but you no longer need it, so it's fine.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they just outlasted printing.
From an IT support point of view, printers are the bane. They're the most temperamental thing. Sometimes they'll work and sometimes they'll just not work for no random reason whatsoever. As in, the OS is detecting it, the printer is on.
In my current job, when I was still in the office, there was still one or two small tasks that still required you to have to go to the printer. I was like, ooh, old school, you know, and because the last job I had, I don't think I touched the printer unless it was to print out my own things. And so I had to walk like halfway across the floor to the other side of the floor in the building and like a totally different set of desks, totally different department, team, whatever. And I was just standing there like a pleb, like something from the IT crowd, just going, ooh, I'm printing. This is the only printer on this entire floor.
the follow you system, if anyone is familiar with the follow you system, is the whole thing of no matter what print or what computer you're at in the office, you just press print and you go to any random big tower friggin' massive office printer on any floor, just go up and go beep and then say, oh yeah, you're Connor Grant, this is your print job, print.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. Yeah, it was a similar situation. You had to swipe your fob on the printer and it would know who you were and print your stuff. It was kind of cool in a way, but I guess that's kind of run of the mill. Does Linux do that? Yes.
if not only that, was the those in the place that have been in all this week, I shit you not, the printers are running Android.
Oh, okay. Oh, I saw something very interesting. It's like, I expected like cash machines and ATMs to be embedded Linux. I really expected that. But then I saw one of them in maintenance mode one day, and it was fucking embedded Windows. And I was like, don't put that on a cash machine.
Oh, that's common.
Yeah, most of them are embedded XP, even though XP is
terrifying, isn't it? I mean, it makes sense when you think about it, like, of course they cornered the embedded market as well, but
not only is XP freaking end of life, freaking Windows 7, the successor, is end of life, and the bank machines are still running XP.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw this embedded XP on a bloody cash machine. I was like, aren't they sunsetting this at the moment? I don't think it was fully end of life, but at the time, but
it's, well, you could choose, you could do what the UK government did or still does maybe, and pay Microsoft big bucks to keep supporting it just for you.
Oh my god.
But so I assume a bank could do that, right? But like, yeah, I think I've seen a blue screen of death on a cash machine, and it's not a pleasant thing.
I worked in a meat factory in Australia, and all the computers ran Ubuntu.
Oh, that's strange.
Yeah, which was crazy. Just some random rural meat processing place in the outback in Australia, and they had Ubuntu on all the computers. I was flabbergasted. I was so impressed.
That kind of happens. Like, every computer in Maplin, except for, like, everything in the office was, like, CentOS. And it wasn't good.
Oh, yeah.
And all the EPOS ran CentOS as well, like, electronic points of sale. And when I worked in Wasabi, all the EPOS was Windows, I think XP or some embedded Windows, which was...
That's because it's like CentOS is made of like solid granite in terms of stability. It's a, you need an axe to break it.
Yeah, it was cheap, and it was the thing is the company who sold this, like, they sell you one. I mean, I don't know if they still do that, but they sold you one big office PC and a lot of EPOS machines that were like the thin clients connecting to that, and they could develop for it one thing, and it would keep them in business for 8 years or how long was CentOS around, right? So they had, it was like a slow development cycle, and they could very cheaply make it work.
You talk about point of sale machines. I'm sure I've told the story before, but in a previous incarnation of Connor doing IT support, one of their clients was a retail chain, so they had point of sale machines. So as it was always, I always smirked on any time that they got a ticket saying, "I'm having issues with my POS point of sale." But in my head, I just replaced it with "piece of shit." I'm having troubles with my POS piece of shit.
They usually are, because nobody puts my. Yeah, those things are horrifying. And you had an EPOS running Linux, but like very weak machines. And you had a like these days you would these things also run Android. These days probably everything runs Android. If you want to buy it new, I don't know. But what we had was for stock taking, you would have a portable
terminal
with a resistive touchscreen, a barcode scanner on it, and that would run Windows like another. Like different Windows version with some Java program that was, it was all terrible, but you know, you get by.
It was all terrible.
It was all terrible. And if you think these, I think there's a company that's owned by Motorola, or it's called, like, these are called Zebras or Symbol sometimes. And they, I don't know if they are now, anyway, basically these things cost like €2,000 each. And it's basically, it's basically like these days an Android phone with a barcode scanner. So I don't know. And some bespoke applications, obviously.
Anyone got any final thoughts before we wrap it up? I think we kind of meandered and shit there, but it'll be good.
Yeah. I mean, in conclusion, Linux works for me just fine.
I think we reached that point about 15 minutes ago, and then we just started talking about other things.
Yeah, I think we wandered off the topic, then wandered back onto the topic.
In summary, though, yes, Linux doesn't do anything that I, like, I don't miss anything on Linux, obviously. Like, it's crazy. You go from my first experience with Linux barely having Wi-Fi to being able to play Doom Eternal. And have like a dual monitor setup. Like, what the fuck? It's different.
If you'd asked me earlier on at various degrees of my Linux journey, I probably would have said yes. But there were obviously constraints. But I've learned to work my way around them, but obviously there's been times where those constraints have been very frustrating, so I probably would have given you a different answer. But now I genuinely can't think of something that I want to do that I can't do on Linux, bar, as I mentioned before, a couple of Windows games that my mates might want me to play, but sometimes I'm just happy enough to let them go off and do that, and I'm like, yeah, you're grand, or whatever. I'll say, oh, unfortunately, I don't have that game, or I can't run that game, or something like that. And yeah, sure, I sometimes I miss out on that. I'm not saying that often. I'm not saying it's freaking every weekend. This might be once in a blue moon that they want me to play something, and I say, oh, I don't have that game, or oh, I can't run that game, or something like that. But usually anything that I've come across, any constraint that I've come across, I've managed to overcome. And in some areas, I'm by no means any worse off from doing it. I mean, in terms of photo editing, and I'm not talking about image manipulation like Photoshop and the GIMP and stuff like that, I'm talking about Adobe Lightroom and the equivalents, open source equivalents. The open source equivalents are as good as for the keen amateur. I don't know, I'm not a professional photographer, so I don't know about how professional photographer professional photo editors would agree with this statement, but for somebody who's a keen well, I wouldn't say keen amateur, I'm a very much a amateur hobbyist, but does everything that I needed to do, and I can tell that there's four or five times the depth of capability within the program than I'm using it for. I'm not using anywhere near the full capability of the tool, and that is the likes of Digicam and Darktable. I'm using Darktable at the moment. That's one in one way that you can completely be a full-time professional photographer and just use free and open source tools. And there are people out there who are full-time professional photographers and they just use free and open source tools. I don't know the state of video editing, or I don't know the state of using GIMP as your full-time whatever, but in terms of photo editing, like Darktable and Raw Therapy and Digicam, those are brilliant tools.
Yeah, it's kind of gotten to the point where if you're willing to sacrifice a thing here or there, then you're going to be all right. You're going to be able to muddle your way through whatever you need to do. Yeah, I've used several programs. They just need a bit of spit and polish for the most part. But, and you know, obviously they're not feature complete. They're not exactly comparable with the heavyweights, but you know, they get the job done in most cases, which is pretty impressive for something that's essentially just free and community developed.
Another brief shout out to anyone who's doing the photo management and photo editing on Linux is there's a tool called Rapid Photo Downloader. Solid piece of software. You literally plug in your SD card and it will automatically tag by date and put them into the separate folders and all everything like that. It'll organize it all for you. So you'll just slurp in all of your photos and it'll put it, rank it by date in different folders and everything like that. Really good. Rapid Photo Downloader.
Nice. I like those recommendations. Like the boners we used to do.
Oh, such nostalgia.
I did actually have one of those that I wanted to mention, but I can't bloody remember what the hell I was even going to say now, which is really annoying. I'll think of it for next time if it's not too out of date. But I think that about wraps it up. We have spoken for quite some time.
Not for the last time.
Not for the last time.
We keep on banging on.
Exactly.
All the time. Yeah.
If you'd like to get in touch with the Linux Lads, just go to linuxlads.com/contact. You'll find all our links there. We're on Telegram and Twitter and all that good stuff. If you would like to email us directly, it's show@linuxlads.com. You can also go to linuxlads.com/donate if you want to donate some money, and /store for the store where you can buy a mug. I'd recommend the black one because it's actually quite nice, and the black t-shirt, which is cool because the logo looks really good on the black t-shirt, if I must say so myself. So yeah, that's been it. Thanks for suffering through this, and I've been Shane, and these guys have been themselves.
I think I'm Connor. I'm not sure.
And I tend to think of myself as Mike.
That's it for now. See you in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Bye.
Toodles.